Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I love a parade. Americans have been singing that song since the 1930s, and we do. We do. We love a parade, from the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade to any one of a number of Mardi Gras parades to the daytime and the nighttime parades at Walt Disney World. From the local Coralville 4th of July parade to the glamorous Hollywood Christmas parade to the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Parade. What can be better than one parade? How about two? Now that's what we have in our text today. Two parades. A parade of death and a parade of life. Here is a poor widow woman. Her husband is dead, and now her son is dead. And she might as well be dead. Her sole source of protection and financial support is gone. She was left lonely and saddened with sorrow, and the mother was distraught and sobbing. You see, it was Jewish custom to bury the dead immediately. As soon as the eyes of the deceased shut, preparations for burial were begun. First, the body was anointed with oils and perfumes, and then it was wrapped with strips of cloth. And finally, the body was paraded up and down the streets of the town. And as the body passed by your house, you would go and you would join in the procession, in the parade behind the body. You see, these preparations were culturally important, and without a doubt, the mother would have begun immediately, and the parade begins. When we first meet the mother, it is highly probable that her son had just died, and we're told that she sobs. It's a parade of death that meets a parade of life. Luke tells us that Jesus is not only with his 12 disciples, but with a great crowd of people. They had just come from healing the centurion's son. At the city gate, these two parades meet. Facing each other, the two groups stopped. Jesus and the widow stood side by side. Each of them had a procession, a parade of people behind them. One procession which wept over death, and another procession which rejoiced over life. A parade of death and a parade of life. And without a further word, Jesus turns to the widow and says, "Stop sobbing." Compassion moved Christ. Our Lord and Savior knows the hurts and the sorrows of this sinful world. Our Lord and Savior knows your hurts and sorrows. For 33 years he lived upon this earth. He was born and he died. He was tempted by the devil. He was rejected, mocked, and spit upon. Christ knows the hurts and the sorrows of this life, and it was compassion which moved him to perform this miracle. To the boy who was dead, Jesus says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And with the power of his spoken word, life is brought to the lifeless. In response to Christ's word, the dead boy sat up and began to speak. The boy was raised from death to life. And in response to Christ's action, the villagers, they were moved from silence to shouts. First, the people cried out, "A great prophet has risen among us." Their reference was to God's prophets from the Old Testament, like Elijah. Today we heard the account of Elijah raising a boy from death. Again, it was the widow's only son. The mother was distraught and blamed Elijah for her son's death. And over that lifeless body of the boy, Elijah prayed to God. And the Lord heard Elijah's plea and gave life to the lifeless. The life of a child returned to him, and he revived. And second, they cried out, "God has visited his people." They attributed the miracle to the saving power of God, for they knew that only God can give life to the lifeless. But the villagers, they did not know what they were really saying. They did not know the vivid truth of their words. When the people said, "God has visited his people," they did not know the literal truth of their statement. They were standing in the very presence of God, God incarnate, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. In the Gospel of Luke, we see the growing revelation of the power and authority of Jesus. He releases the people from demon possession, sickness, sin, and now he demonstrates his power and authority even over death. By touching the casket, Jesus risked becoming ritually unclean. But instead of being defiled, Jesus cleanses and heals. Jesus turned that parade of death into a parade of life. The power of holiness and of life is in Jesus. And he brings purity to the unclean situation, not the other way around. And you know, Jesus comes and touches you too. Yes, you, the unclean, the sinner, the one who is dead. Jesus comes and he touches you. He touches you in your baptism, places a sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And he touches you in Holy Communion, placing his body into your hands, his blood upon your lips. And he touches you, and he brings you peace. He brings you life. Once you were dead, but now you are alive. The Creator has come in the flesh to recreate our flesh. Oh, it's true. Americans love a parade. It wouldn't be Thanksgiving without the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and it wouldn't be New Year's Day without marveling at the Rose Parade, and it wouldn't be a trip to Walt Disney World without watching and toe-tapping to the Main Street Electrical Parade. Yeah, I love a parade, but you know what? I love Jesus more. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.